This coming August, our daughter Katie will be married. Jackie and I are both delighted. We are pleased. We both like her fiancé. As you might well imagine, she and I have had many conversations about weddings and wedding services and what to do and what not to do and how to do it. And I would like you to know this morning that after 37 years in the ministry and 100 plus weddings, my daughter is convinced I know nothing about weddings. Every time we have one of these conversations, I look at my wife, Jackie, and I go, "Where does she get that?" And my wife looks at me and says, "Wayne, I'm surprised you would ask. She is her father's daughter. She is her father's daughter. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, a regular chip off the old block." We are all familiar with those expressions. Perhaps you have used one of those to describe someone's behavior, or maybe physical appearance. Perhaps someone has used one of those expressions to describe your behavior or physical appearance. In this morning's gospel, Jesus continues to prepare his beloved disciples for what will be his eventual departure. This is not unusual. We humans always try to make provisions for those whom we will leave behind when we die. And Jesus, who was fully human and fully immersed in all human affairs, was no exception. He was concerned with how the disciples would experience his departing. And so he did what a lot of us do. We plan ahead. We think about what it is we want to leave those who are left behind. Often it is an estate, as the state likes to say. We think that it might be money or land or a particular piece of art that we enjoyed or something that they admired. Sometimes, because we're more concerned about their emotional well-being and psychological well-being, we think about leaving them perhaps a personal diary, a journal, or maybe even a video of ourselves saying goodbye. But of course, none of those efforts can truly diminish the reality that a loved one is dead and no longer beside you to enjoy what it was the two of you enjoyed together. Because Jesus was departing this earth, he too wanted to ease the burden of his followers. Not so much in providing for their economic, emotional, or even psychological needs. He wanted to provide something for their spiritual well-being. And to that end, he did not leave them wealth, his personal journal, or a piece of art. What Jesus left behind was his very self, so that his presence would continue with those who followed him, continue with those who followed him, so that those who followed him could continue to embrace, enable, and empower what it was that was Jesus in this world. Jesus makes this clear when he says to them in today's gospel, "I will not leave you orphaned. I give you a promise." It is a promise that is realized for us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. It is our spiritual DNA. In the waters of baptism, we are made children of God. And we are given the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. You remember in the text this morning, Jesus saying, "I'm going away, but I am sending you an advocate who will be with you forever." It is the writer's, the evangelist John's way of talking about the Holy Spirit, an advocate, a counselor. This is our spiritual DNA. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift of grace, is affirmed every time we come to this table and we receive the body and blood of Christ. As Christ gave himself for the sake of the world, we are empowered. We are enabled to be an instrument of God's grace and love in the world. Jesus promises. His promise comes with a challenge to live as God's children, to live as a chip off the old block, to be the children of our Heavenly Father, the brothers and sisters of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How about you? As you look back over your life, where have you left the mark of your spiritual DNA? Where have you left the mark of who you are? More importantly, whose you are as a child of God? I've had a lot of time to think about this, more than a week as I prepared this homily. For you, you begin to think about it now. So I'm going to tell you how I imagine what that spiritual DNA looks like that we leave behind while you're thinking about it. Don't feel guilty thinking about it while I'm preaching. I know people think about a lot of things while I'm preaching. What do I think that looks like? Well, if I had to imagine what spiritual DNA looks like, I would think it looks like forgiveness. I would think it would look like the forgiveness that Jesus gave Peter. Peter, who denied him, not once, twice, but three times. That wonderful story in the Gospel of John of Jesus forgiving Peter for each one of those denials. When I think about spiritual DNA left behind, I think about Jesus on the road and those cries that came from far away, from a group of people who were outcasts, who were quarantined, who were left out. These were lepers. Do you remember what they cried out to Jesus? Do you remember? Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. I believe that spiritual DNA looks a whole lot like mercy. Mercy for those who are the most forgotten and the most lost in our communities today. I think of spiritual DNA as being grace. And a good definition of grace is undeserved love. Undeserved love for sinners and tax collectors, for the woman caught in adultery, for all who have ever committed a sin. When Jesus issues the challenge to us, if you love me, will you keep my commandments? He isn't challenging us to keep some kind of laws or rituals. He had only one commandment. And that was to love one another as he had loved us. Jesus doesn't pose this question to his followers to be some kind of command, but rather it's a challenge. It is a challenge to leave behind our spiritual DNA, to leave behind what it is that we have first received, God's grace. God's love and God's mercy. To lead through service, to serve others selflessly, even to the point of washing feet, to become like little children, to call upon God as Abba, Daddy, as Jesus taught us to pray, and to cherish all of our other brothers and sisters, the children of the same God, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless, to heal the sick. To visit the imprisoned and to welcome the stranger, to offer hospitality to those who cannot return it. Whenever we have done that, we leave behind our spiritual DNA. In this way, the whole world knows that we are a chip off the old block, but not really the block. We are a chip off the old rugged cross when we leave our spiritual DNA. People know not only who we are, but whose we are. We are God's children. A God who is like a father or a mother. Someone with whom we have an intimate relationship. A God not to be feared, but to be loved. Not a God who destroys or kills or punishes. But a God who loves and heals and saves. You see, if we leave anything else behind as our spiritual DNA, then grace and love and mercy, it suggests that we are children of a lesser God. When we leave our spiritual DNA behind, that grace and love and mercy that God has given to us, the world is a better place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.